Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. What a blessing to worship together. What does it mean to adore Christ? Do we understand, as I was thinking about that song and just reflecting, the character of Christ is so contrary to the world today? And is that who I adore? Is that who I model, who I follow? So good. Appreciate those songs, Brother Elliot. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4 this morning. And before we get there, I want to tell you a story from 1 Kings chapter 13. This story to me is amazing. And if you're wondering about some of these details, check it out this afternoon. Okay. What happened in 1 Kings 13 is happening today in 2021. It says in 1 Kings chapter 13, a man of God went up from Judah to go up to Bethel, and he was sent there by God to prophesy against the temple and the altar and King Jeroboam. And his prophecy was this: that there is going to be someone born to the house of David. They're going to name him Josiah, and he is going to offer high priest bones on this altar here. So this wasn't a warm, fuzzy, we're glad to hear you type of a message that everybody's like, oh, praise God. We wanted that one. Not at all, okay? So that's the message that this man of God was supposed to do. And he was also told this, that when you go up there to Bethel, you make this prophecy, then you are to eat or drink nothing while you're there, and you're to go home and go home another way. Okay. Man of God went up, went to the temple, into the temple there at Bethel, and he prophesied. He says, there's going to be one born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he's going to offer men's bones, and high priest bones are going to be burnt on this altar. And there's people there in the temple area where this is happening, and even King Jeroboam is there. And again, King Jeroboam is a wicked king, and this isn't a prophecy that he wants to hear. But the man of God was given a sign. He says, a sign that this is going to happen is the altar is going to be rent in two, or it's going to come apart, and the ashes are going to be spilled out. So he makes his prophecy, and King Jeroboam points at the man of God and says, lay hold on him. The altar rent apart, the ashes spilled out, a sign that what he said is going to be true. But also, when the king says, lay hold on him, and by the way, you don't want to be on the end of that finger. Because lay hold on him, you're done. If things go well for you, you just end up in the king's prison for a period of time. But he could be, whatever. Lay hold on him. But immediately when King Jeroboam says, lay hold on him, his arm withered up. And it says he couldn't draw it back to him. It's like all the muscles just withered up. And it's like this. And then King Jeroboam does this. Heal me. Lay hold on him. Can't bring his hand back. Heal me. I'd been that prophet. I said, heal yourself. I'm out of here. But he didn't. He healed him. He brings his hand back to himself. And then King Jeroboam does this. He says, I want you, and this is to this man of God who made this prophecy. And by the way, this man of God's name is, he's just a man of God out of Judah, okay? He says, I want you. King Jeroboam says this. He says, I want you to come home and have dinner with me. Now, I'm expecting a wonderful dinner. If you could see my view right now, we have something loaded with crock pots out there, okay? We're going to have a good feast today. But if you were invited to the king's house, it would probably even put our carrying dinners to a second class, right? Like, not every day, not any day, do I get invited to a king's house. So when the king Jeroboam says, I want you to come home and have dinner with me, you're like, wow. But the man of God says, I'm sorry, but even if you give me half your house, I can't go home with you. Because the word of God said to me, I'm going to come up here and make this prophecy. I'm not to eat or drink anything here, and then I'm going to go home another way. One thing we know about King Jeroboam, even though he's a wicked king, he did learn quickly. He didn't argue with him. Like, okay, let him go. So he went. The man of God gets back on his donkey and heads home back to Judah another way. Well, in that crowd that day were some sons of an elderly prophet. And what happened there that day is not an everyday occurrence. So they went home, and they're like, Dad, you wouldn't believe what we saw in the temple today. What happened? The man of God came up, and he prophesied, and, you know, how a man of God's going to, a child's going to be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. He's going to offer priest bones on the altar. And then he said, a sign that's going to happen is the altar's going to be rent in two. And then it was rent in two, and then King Jeremy, you know, they told him the whole story. And the older prophet said, well, where'd he go? And they said, well, he, you know, went out this way. He said, hey, get my donkey ready. I'm going to run him down. So the older prophet gets on his donkey to go overtake this young prophet. He wants to meet him. So he overtakes him, and, you know, maybe his donkey had more horsepower than the younger prophet's donkey, but he catches up to him, and actually the younger prophet there is taking a rest, it says, and he says, hey, I want you to come home. This is the older prophet, by the way. I want you to come home and have dinner with me. You know the answer to that one. If you tell the king, I can't eat dinner at your house, and the steaks and the whatever else that he's going to have, you're not going to go home and have mutton stew with the old prophet. And that's what he says. He says, I'm sorry, but the word of God came to me and says, go up, make this prophecy, and then go home another way, and I'm not supposed to eat or drink anything there. And then the older prophet says this. He says, I'm a man of God like you. And an angel came to me and said, you're to come home and have dinner with me. Now what? An older prophet says, I'm a man of God like you. An angel came to me and said, you're to come home and have dinner with me. What do you do in a case like that? What do you do when somebody says, I'm a Christian too? And God came to me, and God said this. And that's not what God said to you. What do you do? There is so much done today in the name of the Spirit. Some of it really is of the Spirit of God. Much of it is not at all. So the question that we face is, how do we tell the difference? How do we know, is this of God or is it not? Is it right? Is it right to challenge someone's claim as having heard from God? Oh, I'm a Christian like you, and God told me. What do you do? What do you do? Let's finish the story from 1 Kings chapter 13. So when the older prophet says, well, I'm a man of God like you, and an angel came to me and said, you're to come home and have dinner with me? He said, okay. So he gets back on his donkey, and he follows the older prophet home, and he sits down to eat with him, and it doesn't say what they had, but says, see, as he began to eat, he took that first bite of food. The older prophet says this. He looks at him, and he says, because you came home and ate dinner with me, you are not going to make it home alive. You're going to die. How does that make you feel? When I read that story, something within me rises up. You can't do that, Mr. Older Prophet. You can't do that. You tricked him. You told him that God told you to come back. And then as soon as he comes back, you knew he wasn't supposed to. You knew he heard from God. And when he comes back, you say, because you came back and you ate, never mind, I invited you. But because you came back and you ate here, you're not going to make it home. I don't know if he finished his meal. I'm sure I couldn't have. He gets back on his donkey and he goes to head home. And scripture tells us that a lion met him in the way and killed him. And this is how the story ends in 1 Kings chapter 13. It says that anytime people passed on that road and the place where he was killed, they would say, "There lies the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord. There lies the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord." And that's how this man of God is remembered. There lies the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord. That's a sad, sad story. That's a story that I have seen happen not once, not twice, to people who have been zealous for God. And somebody comes along and says, "Oh, I'm a Christian like you. God's Spirit said this." And they listen to him. And it doesn't just change in one night where they realize they're deceived. But they leave their church and they join this movement and they join this church and they're following this person, whatever it may be. And you give them time and all of a sudden realize that, you know what? This really isn't about the Spirit of God. God's Spirit isn't in it. And guess where they end up? Just cold in the world. There lies the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord. We have got to ask the question, is God really in it? So how do we do it? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I have this up on the screen today. You can follow along there or in your Bibles. And we're going to look at this text. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We are told right up front in the start of this chapter that we're to try the spirits to see if they're of God. Don't just believe it. Don't just believe it because they say, "Well, I'm a Christian like you." The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And brothers and sisters, let me just step back from this just a moment and address something that I believe we as conservative Anabaptists have done out of people saying, God's Spirit spoke to me, and they didn't, because we've seen it. We've seen it time and time again. I believe many times, because of seeing those movements come and go, and we see where they go, and we know God's Spirit was not in that, that was not of God, too often we've done this to the Holy Spirit. And when somebody says, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, we're like, nuh-uh, no. And we go in a ditch. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit does work. The Holy Spirit does speak. In fact, Jesus, when he told his disciples, he says, I'm going to leave you. And oh, they didn't want to hear that. He said, oh, but it's expedient, or it's necessary that I go, because when I go, the Father's going to send the Comforter. By the way, that's another name for the Holy Spirit. We like comforters. We like people that comfort us. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he's going to guide you. He's going to lead you into all truth. We need God's Spirit today. We've got to listen to the Spirit of God. We've got to follow him. And God's Spirit is never going to lead us astray. Let us not react to all these movements that say, oh, the Holy Spirit said, and say, okay, we're just going to shut down, and I'm just going to hunker down and make sure. No, we do got to listen to the Spirit. But how do we do it? That's what we get right. I believe in this text here, we have three tests that clearly show us, here's how you know it's the Spirit of God. And there's three themes that come throughout this. How do I know that it's really the Spirit of God? When somebody says, well, the Spirit of God told me, how do you know? Three things, three ways. Number one, his Spirit leads to Jesus. His Spirit will lead to Jesus. As you look at the different verses here in verse 2, hereby I know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it's of God. The next verse, if he doesn't confess Jesus Christ, he's not of God. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. The first test is the Spirit's going to lead to Jesus. The Spirit's going to point us to Jesus. And anyone who has the Spirit of God in them, their message will point you to Jesus Christ. Now, let me just check on our understanding of the Trinity a little bit. Scripture says that the Son glorifies the Father. Amen? The Son glorifies the Father. Scripture also says that the Father glorifies the Son. Amen? We see that in Scripture? Okay? Son glorifies the Father. The Father glorifies the Son. Scripture also says that the Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. You with me? So we have this. Son glorifies the Father. Father glorifies the Son. Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. Who glorifies the Spirit? That's where too many people get led astray. The Father doesn't glorify the Spirit. The Son doesn't glorify the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't glorify the Spirit. Read your Bible. Let me say this. Remember this. A spirit that glorifies itself is not the Spirit of God. A spirit that glorifies itself is not the Spirit of God. And you may be saying like, whoa, 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 whoa. So Father glorifies Son, Son glorifies the Father, Spirit glorifies the Father and Son. Who glorifies the Spirit? So nobody? So you're like saying like this, the Holy Spirit? No, no, no. We got to understand that the three in one, they all had a different work. The Father sent the Son. The Father didn't come and die for our sins. That was Jesus. Does that make Jesus greater? No, that was his role. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus became flesh. That was his role.
And then when he went back to heaven, he sent the Spirit to lead us into truth. There are three distinct persons in the Godhead. They have three distinct roles. And when the Spirit came to dwell within us, to lead us to truth, to point us to the Father through Jesus Christ, the Spirit didn't come to glorify himself. Jesus didn't come to glorify the Spirit. The Spirit is within us today to point us to Jesus, to the Father. A spirit that glorifies itself is not the Spirit of God. If you don't like that, study John. Study the work of the Holy Spirit. And you will find today in your false movements, it's all about the Spirit and a spirit that's glorifying itself. I believe a spirit that glorifies itself is a real spirit and it's alive and well. And it's called the spirit of this world. Let's move on. A spirit will lead us to Jesus. Secondly, his spirit will lead to love. And this passage really just champions love. And if we love God, we're going to love each other. And if we say we know God and we don't love, there's no, God's not in us. We're a liar. And I'm not going to go through all these verses, but we have them there 7 to 12 and then again 16 to 21. It's talking about love. The Spirit of God leads us to love. And brothers and sisters, here's where we can err. We can know a truth and we can say a truth. But when we speak truth without love, God's not in that because God's a God of love. In fact, in Hebrews 4, Paul says, speak the truth in what? Anytime you separate love and truth, you're violating Scripture. Don't champion truth over love. Don't champion love over truth. Why do we have to separate them? We don't. Jesus didn't. In fact, when it talks about Jesus coming, he was full of grace and truth. Depending on who you are, depending on your giftings, we can tend to lean towards grace or towards truth, or towards love, or towards truth, or maybe spirit and truth. And Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4, said, there's coming a day when men aren't going to worship me here in this mountain or this temple, whatever, but those who really worship me are going to worship me in spirit and truth. And today, unfortunately, our churches tend to champion one or the other. It's spirit worship or it's truth worship. And then, when we're dissatisfied in our spirit church or our truth church, we flip to the other one. What kind of a church would you choose? A spirit-led one or a truth-led one? That's a bad question because it's not even possible. They that worship must worship in spirit and truth, speaking the truth in love, full of grace and truth. It is possible to say true things and to say them in a wrong spirit. If God's in it, if God's Spirit's in it, we're going to say the truth in love. Sometimes I know the truth. But the spirit, my flesh within me, isn't ready to say it because I'm angry about this or whatever it may be. And I have to spend time with God and I need to give myself space and say, Rick, that's not the spirit that you say this. The second test from this passage is God's Spirit is going to lead us to love. And if somebody's speaking, but there's not love there, God's Spirit's not in it. Don't separate spirit and truth. Don't separate spirit and love. Jesus didn't, okay? Today, too often, we champion love or truth. Spirit or truth. His Spirit will lead us to love.
And the third test, his spirit will lead to truth. And this one gets championed so much today. Look what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says this, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that heareth not God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, I don't have to do this anymore because God's spirit said, and we put God's spirit against the truth. Brothers and sisters, that's definitely a spirit behind that, but it is never the spirit of God. God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, has never been in disagreement with the word of God. Amen? And anytime somebody's trying to lead you away from truth, it's definitely a spirit, but it's not the spirit of God. His spirit will guide us into truth. Now, let's not get lifted up in pride and say, yep, see, we've got it. No, sometimes I don't understand scripture clearly, and the spirit can speak to me, can speak to me through a brother, can speak to me through his reading the word, and helps understand, you know what, Rick, that was wrong. I know those type of things come, but never, never let yourself take what you know is truth, what we understand, and that's why we study together. That's why we have brotherhood. That's why you're not out there on your own. But never let a spirit say, you know what? It might say that, but that's not necessary anymore. We have a final and complete revelation. And the only thing that's new is the mercies of God, and they're new every morning. Praise God. When new things are coming, new things are going. Be careful of these movements. The Spirit of God is going to lead us to truth. He's going to lead us to truth. Now, let's look at a few more verses here. John 14 says this, I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And just thinking on God's Spirit leading us to truth, when God's Spirit is, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth. He's not going to contradict the word. John 15, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Ah. So when somebody is saying, God's Spirit has said this, and it's pointing you to an individual, to a movement, to a certain local body, or is lifting up an organization, or something like that, God's Spirit's going to point us to Jesus Christ. And the goal is we're pointing people to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves, not to some following, not to some work. He's gonna testify of me, it says. He's gonna testify of me. And you shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's look at a couple more verses here in John chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier. It's expedient or it's necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you. And okay, all the preachers and all the Sunday school teachers, this, especially everybody in that category, listen to this, okay? This is what Jesus says. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. And too often, do you know what we do? We say them anyways. Jesus was nicer than that. I've got a lot of things to say, but you can't bear it all. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he's going to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself. Let's just pause before we look at that. He will not speak of himself. Jesus understood that in our flesh we forget, we can't handle everything. And he said, it's okay. I'm going to give you what you can handle. And you see testimony. And here's an example of how the Spirit of truth brings to remembrance something that you heard, something that you read. God's Spirit is faithful to bring those things to mind. Jesus told disciples, or he told the religious leaders, he says, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And they didn't get it, the religious leaders. You know, they thought, yeah, 46 years was this temple and building. You say, tear it down in 3 days, you're raising it. Nah, you're crazy. And the disciples were there. They didn't get it either, that he's talking about the temple of his body. But they heard it. They didn't get it. After, it says this in John, after Jesus had risen from the dead, that is, the disciples were like, oh, we remember that he said this, and then guess what John says? And then they believed. Wow, that's how the Spirit of God works. You can be sitting this morning maybe, and later on you're like, God's Spirit brings to remembrance. Oh, and you're like, wow. You can be reading your Bible, and later on, all of a sudden, God's Spirit brings from it. That's what the Spirit of God does. You can trust God's Spirit. It's not going to argue with Jesus. It's not going to contradict the Word of God. His Spirit's going to lead us into truth. Beautiful part. Now, let's get back to this. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He's not going to be speaking of himself. He's not bringing attention to himself. What he hears from the Father, that's what he speaks to us. And it's going to point us to Jesus, to love, to truth. That's how the Spirit of God works. And brothers and sisters, anytime a movement is happening and everybody's saying, wow, God's really in this movement, or God's really using this brother, or God's really using this organization, run it through these tests. Let's get these back up here for us. Run it through these tests, okay? Is this message, is this preacher, is this organization, is this church, is this whatever, is it pointing me to Jesus? Is it pointing me to love? Is it pointing me to truth? Run it through those three. And if any one of these aren't present in what's being done, it's not of God's Spirit. Brothers, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits. I still remember an American missionary stopping to talk to our pastor in Thailand, there at Igo. And this was several years ago. We were living in Thailand. And this American missionary, she was a lady, talked to our pastor, and she shared with the pastor that she has back problem. And the pastor said, well, why is your back problem? You know, because it was giving her a lot of problems. She'd been to the doctor, and she says, well, here's what's causing it. Every Sunday, when her and her family, and she's a married lady, that she's not a novice, she's a missionary, she's worshiping in an international evangelical church in Chiang Mai. Every Sunday at our service towards the end, I'm one of the people in our church that come up to the front, and then when the pastor does this, then we fall over backwards to show the congregation the power that our pastor has. Now, our churches in Chiang Mai aren't like this in that we have carpet, okay? There's just cement. Unless it's a nicer church, then we've got ceramic tile on top of the cement. Now, I don't know about you, but I only need to fall over one time on my back, and I've got back problem on cement tile. This lady, that's what she does every Sunday morning. You wonder if the chiropractors are behind movements like that. And what blows me away is it's not crossing her mind to tell the pastor, I'm sorry, I can't put on an act like this anymore. No, that wasn't the option. What do I do? There was a man of God abusing his power. He's saying, I want you to put on an act so that they see that God has power. Hey, brothers and sisters, if God wants to knock people over, he is well able. He won't just knock them over. He can open up the ground and just drop them in and close it up. He did that in the book of Exodus. God can do all sorts of things. God can just strike them just like that. And if somebody says, you act for me, there is definitely a spirit behind that. And it's called a spirit of deception. What does that lady need to do? She needs to try the Spirit. I'm falling over to make Jesus look good? No. To make the pastor look good? Nah. We're never called to make each other look good. We're called to make God look good. Wow. Well, that's really far out. Nobody's going to come up here and fall over for Pastor Lyle or Pastor John or anyone. We never do those kind of things. And I praise God that we're not there. But I've seen people who are members in churches just like this, that somebody comes along and they say, the Spirit says this. And because of their lack of trying the spirits, they follow them. May that not be here. May that not be here. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we're grateful today that you sent Jesus to die for our sins, to pay our price so that we can have peace with you. And we're grateful that when Jesus defeated death and he rose from the dead, he showed us that he's got power over everything, even death. And we're grateful that Jesus left so that you could send the Comforter. Father, I pray today that you would help us to listen to the Comforter, to follow your Spirit. I pray that we would have a strong sense of confidence in your Spirit. I pray that when people say, the Spirit said this, or new teachings come out, or books come out, and it sounds so good, I pray that we would have the wisdom and the wherewithal to try the Spirit, like John said. Not to believe it, but to try it, so that we're not deceived. Because in the last days, many false teachings are going to come, and we're there, God, we're there. Help us to try the spirits. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.